The Central Command Platform gives key decision makers easy access to advanced surveillance options. Using the icons at the top, we can toggle the visibility of the subjects we want to view. We'll tap the human icon to activate their visibility. This gives us a real-time view of all the subjects in our jurisdiction. Let's use the search bar to find a specific subject. Here, we can search by typing in the name of a subject or search with an image of the subject's face. First, let's try typing in the name of our subject. In this case, there were two people with the same name found in our jurisdiction. We can tap a subject's live location to see more details. We can now see the live location and source details of the person we tapped on, with options to see more details to help us determine if this is our subject. To search by face, let's say we have an image of the subject. We can source this from a surveillance integration or by manually uploading an image. Using face search, we can find the exact person who matches the face of our subject. Let's say our subject is suspected of committing a crime last night. We can use the AI chat to see where he was at the time of the crime. The chat will respond and show us the exact location on the map. Let's say we have a crime report that tells us the suspect fled the scene at 9:30. Let's use the timeline tool to go to exactly 9:30. We can see that it matches the report. He's leaving the bar. Let's see where he is right now by using the timeline tool to go back to live. We can use the chat to automate the next steps, such as requesting an arrest warrant and sending units to the area once we receive it. The chat will automatically create an action plan and execute the plan for you as soon as you give the approval. It'll notify the relevant parties, execute according to your department's protocol, and custom integrations with your current services, allowing you to keep your jurisdiction safe and secure right from the palm of your hand with the Central Command Platform.
Isn't that interesting? And you can see where that's going. Central Command. Coming online right on cue, right alongside Trump's new Stargate project. It looks wonderful, doesn't it? I mean, this is just such a great future that they're building for us, folks. It's incredible. Coupled with that, there's a new AI helmet that someone has produced that I'm sure you'll see all the police using anytime soon. And of course, all of this ties together, folks. Everything that's happening. Project Stargate, the new command center, mRNA jabs. Trump is outlawing free speech, essentially. He is basically destroying the First Amendment in stealth, doing it by criminalizing anti-Semitism. You see how all this ties together, folks? A lot of people wonder why you've been so focused on Israel and Gaza. Well, it's because the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. And you look at what they are introducing into Western countries. Now, look what Trump's really doing, folks. Threatening everybody, tariffs against any country that won't capitulate to his wishes. Wants to take over Greenland, wants to take over Canada, wants to take over the Panama Canal, wants to basically set up the North American Union, usher in the New World Order, wants to now destroy the First Amendment under the guise of protecting America from anti-Semitism. Think about it, folks, and you look at the level of cruelty that we see in Palestine, in Gaza, just what these Israelis have been doing. And think about this coming to your own country. Like I've said, you've got to look at the Israeli government and realize that this government is now in control of the United States. All of Trump's cabinet are more pro-Zionist than the Israeli cabinet. And look at what the Israeli cabinet is doing to Gaza. They've estimated that even should the war stop now and they decide to rebuild Gaza, it's going to take around about 27 years to filter and clear out the rubble. Yeah, it's full of chemicals, unexploded ordnance, bodies, countless bodies. There's so much that needs to be done to clear out Gaza. Just rebuilding it is one thing. It's going to take around about 27 years to actually clear it out and get it back to a zone that you could build on. That's some estimates anyway. And you think about it, folks, the amount of unexploded bombs and shit that's going on in Gaza. I mean, it's absurd. Thank you. But yeah, they're saying that's how long it's going to take just to clear Gaza out. That's how much damage that they've done. The damage that they're doing to the United States, the fires in California. I actually saw a video which showed apparently all the fires in LA. There were three major fire fronts and they all started at exactly the same time. Yeah, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Funny how that works. But all of this stuff is related. It's all tied together. And Israel is fully exposing itself, folks. Israel is in control of the United States. The United States is being milked dry, just literally bled dry. You notice the cost of living in China. There was recently, I think Jeff talked about it on a recent video. There was that day that TikTok went down. And everyone switched over to this other Chinese app called Red Note. I think it's Red Note. And they were all chatting to Chinese people and they figured out Chinese people are paying a tenth to survive of what the people in the West are paying. They don't pay anywhere near what our cultures pay for rent or food or anything like that, because all of our cultures are actually being milked dry by bankers. This is how they do it, folks. This is how you are a slave. You're a debt slave. Tax slave. Nothing is free. Everything that you work for has to be government approved. This is what the West has become. And you don't get that in China. You don't get that in some other countries. And a lot of people, when they went onto Red Note, they saw that and they were kind of shocked at how much they've been misled. And all this is consolidating now. This whole power grid is all consolidating now. And I've kept such a focus on Gaza and a focus on Palestine because Israel is in its death throes. Israel is exposing itself and Israel is in control of all of our governments. Not so much in the Australian government. The current Australian government has actually really pulled back from Israel. It's withdrawn support. It understands there's a genocide going on. Actually, Israelis that apply for visas to enter Australia have to now specify when they served in the IDF. If they served in the last 15 months, they want to know whether you went into Gaza, because if you did, you will not be granted a visa due to your participation in genocide. And it's the same in New Zealand. So, of course, we've seen all of these alleged anti-Semitic attacks happening in Australia. The firebombing of the car in the middle of the night, you know, the place that the guy didn't actually live at anymore. The firebombing of the synagogue again at 4 o'clock in the morning when there's nobody there. Now, just recently, we saw a caravan full of explosive ordnance just left parked on the side of the road. And inside the caravan was an address of a Jewish synagogue. So the media's grabbed this and said, wow, these are explosives that were supposed to be taken to a Jewish synagogue. And you got the Jewish Association of Australia saying, this is an attempt to kill 200 Jews. Where do they get these figures from? Well, the synagogue has 200 people in there praying. It's just so obviously a setup. Apparently the cops found this caravan 9 days before the media got hold of it. It was never reported. I guess maybe they were looking for someone to put the blame on. You know, you've got to wonder. I mean, you just find a caravan full of explosives with an address to a synagogue on it in the side of the road. And when it doesn't seem a little suspicious to you at all, you know, did they leave a Quran inside as well? Was there a Palestinian kefir in there? I mean, yeah, perhaps a passport. Was there a passport? That would totally clinch it. But, you know, it's so obvious, and it's so obvious a false flag, because they want to undermine the current government of Australia and replace it with Peter Dutton, who recently did a trip to Tel Aviv. They want it all going their way, and they're losing the information war, and they're terrified about that. And they're doing everything they can to exacerbate the situation in Gaza as well. You know, the hostage exchange that we've all seen. All of the Israeli hostages, you know, the ones that have been released so far, all look very healthy, very happy, very well fed, like they've been totally looked after. Quite a comparison to the Palestinian hostages that are released, who all look terrible, traumatized, both physically and psychologically. Absolutely disgraceful. And Israel's been doing everything they can to delay the release of hostages and blah, blah, blah. There's one hostage who was released. There was a young lady, actually 22-year-old lady, who gets to meet her father for the first time because he was arrested 22 years ago and put into an Israeli jail, and they're just releasing him now. 22 years he's been in there because he participated in an uprising. Yeah, so of course he's a terrorist, because that's what a terrorist is in Israel. See, Palestine is being occupied, systematically destroyed. Palestinians are just being treated like less than animals, less than dogs, like second-class citizens. Israel goes in there to, you know, do a raid on a suburb. Like, they recently raided Yenin. And what they've done in Yenin is they've bulldozed all the roads. They raid a village, a Palestinian village, and they say, you've got to evacuate because we're searching for Hamas. And they send all the people out of the village, and then they destroy the village. They destroy all the homes. They bulldoze them. Some of the equipment, I mean, the United States has just removed all restrictions on equipment they're sending to Israel. One of the biggest shipments they're sending them are D9 bulldozers. What do you need D9 bulldozers for if you're going in and it's a war and you're going in looking for Hamas terrorists? It's about destroying infrastructure. Everything they do in a methodical and very cruel way. Even with the release of the hostages. Like, there's hostages being released into Israel, and the Israelis are out in the street, just gathering in the street and cheering, having huge festivals and gatherings and parades to mark the return of the hostages.
גם ועדות ההתנגדות העממית, אבל הג'יהאד האיסלאמי הוא זה שבעצם מנהל את כל האירוע הזה הרבה יותר
כל כך ארוכה אחר כך, אני בטוחה שעבר לגן לראות שהם עכשיו אני נפרדת מהחברה.
In Palestine, like in West Bank, I mean, they're so poor, the people in West Bank, because Israel, it's a fully apartheid system. It's worse than South Africa. I'll tell you, it isn't apartheid, but it is. You try going to West Bank and having a look at what it's actually like there. They live in these terrible little houses. Most of the time, they don't even have glass in the windows. They can't afford to paint them properly. They just don't have anything. Israel really treats them as like fourth-class citizens. And there was one family who is expecting the return of their child. This is a child captive by Israel. It's been held in military prison by Israel. So they lined up some seats out the front of their house so they could sit there and welcome him home. Have a little kind of a gathering, bit of a party, you know, to welcome home their child. Israeli soldiers came and smashed all the seats so they don't have anything to sit on when he arrives.
كسروا كل الكراسي.
كسروا الكراسي؟ لا يا بتصرامي.
لا انت. الله يكسرك الله. خفيش.
You know, methodical, calculated, premeditated cruelty. Allow them to feel the joy that their son is soon going to return, but don't allow them to enjoy that return. Make sure you smash up all their seats. Make sure you smash up their place. Make sure your presence is known. And it's a joke anyway, because Israel will release 200 hostages. And then it will go and raid Yenin or raid another town in West Bank, and it will kidnap 200 more and put them straight back in jail where the other 200 were. So it doesn't mean anything. And they're still using the Bibas family as an excuse to continue to go and decimate Gaza. You know, if you don't return the Bibas family to us alive, then there'll be all hell to pay. And Hamas reported that the Bibas family were killed in an Israeli airstrike in November 2023. They offered to return the bodies to Israel, but Israel refused. Of course, so that they could use them now as a political tool to justify more slaughter. Yeah, and this is what's running all of our countries. See, the New World Order they want to create, they want to dismantle the United Nations. They're saying UNRWA, the aid organization, they're saying this is a terrorist front. They're saying the United Nations needs to be dismantled. They're saying they want to settle all of Greater Israel. They want to send all the Palestinian refugees to Jordan and Egypt. And of course, this will give them the excuse to say Hamas is still alive in Jordan and Egypt, and we need to go in and take over those countries. It's all part of the plan, folks. And they want the world run by Jerusalem out of Greater Israel. And this will affect all of our countries. But the propaganda war they're having to wage to get all this across, and the genocide, the public open genocide they're conducting, is really reaching a lot of people. So that's why I've focused on it so much, folks. I know it gets tiring for people, but it's all part of the same thing. Look what Trump's doing in America. See, all of this is the excuse that he's using to basically decimate the First Amendment by saying he's stamping out against anti-Semitism and getting rid of Hamas supporters from the country. I'll tell you, there's nobody out there who's supporting Hamas. These are people who are anti-genocide. They're not supporting Hamas. They're just not supporting the genocide of Palestine that Israel is carrying out. And that's why there's this huge propaganda war going on, and why they've got to focus on it so much. I just think it's important to see, folks. It's important to notice, and it's important to see how it's coming to all of our countries. You know, and it's a very, very real issue, folks. It's a very, very real issue. Voila. Very, very real issue. In other news, the helicopter and aircraft crashing was kind of interesting, wasn't it, at Washington Airport? A Black Hawk helicopter and a passenger plane crashed. Kind of bizarre. I mean, there was a guy who did a report and showed that a lot of those helicopters who had come across from the Navy base across the river, or the Army base across the river, and that the aircraft was actually doing a bit of a dog leg approach where it was supposed to come in on runway 1, but then that was changed to runway 3. So it was doing a little bit of a dog leg out to runway 3, and then it collided with the helicopter. It's really kind of weird when you look at the radar paths of the helicopter and the plane. I mean, it almost looks like the helicopter turned into the plane. It almost looks like it was deliberate. So that's kind of weird. I mean, you've got to wonder whether there was anybody important on the aircraft, whether that was even like drone, you know, like controlled by external sources or something like that. You just don't know these days, folks. It could have been an honest mistake, an honest error. Be interesting when more information comes in about it. But you've got to wonder whether there was someone important on that aircraft. It just seems really odd for this to happen. I mean, this is kind of the worst air disaster the United States has had since about 2009. They don't generally have air disasters. And so, yeah, it's interesting. Maybe it's just done to keep us in fear of flying, keep us in fear of traveling. They want to shut everything down, folks. They want people in fear of everything. In fear of the terrible Muslim extremists, of course. In fear of Hamas. In fear of speaking outside the box, lest you get called an anti-Semite and deported. And it's pretty freaky to see the direction the United States is going since Trump has taken office. It's only been like a week or so. And he's just gone hell for leather. Like, he's really going hard with all this stuff, folks. Well, 10 days it's been since he took office. All he's really done is sign executive orders, you know, executive order after executive order. Now, really locking us into this Project Stargate and the mRNA jabs. And we don't need mRNA jabs. You don't need any jabs. You don't need any vaccine. You know, our bodies are incredible. They have the ability to heal themselves. Interestingly, as I've said before, we have an endocannabinoid system in our body. You know, cannabis is the only plant that we have an endocrine system for in our body. You don't have an endo-lettuce system in your body. You don't have an endo-rhubarb system in your body. You don't have an endocrine system for any other plant in your body except for cannabis. And once they outlawed cannabis, everybody started getting sick. You had all these weird exotic diseases that we'd never heard of before. Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, all sorts of stuff that people had never heard of before. Suddenly all this started coming to the fore once they outlawed cannabis. And cannabis is real medicine. I mean, all medicines prior to that point used to have hemp as the basis for the medicine. It was the initial base compound. And all the bullshit they tell you about cannabis, I mean, cannabis, THC, is actual medicine. I've shown you before, like even Rick Simpson curing cancer, and I've done it myself. I've cured over 15, 16 people, 17 people, I don't know, I lost count, of terminal cancers using cannabis oil. It absolutely works. It's real medicine. And it, you know, if you don't abuse it, if you don't, you know, just smoke so much that you're just kind of dazed and stoned all the time, but actually use it, just have a puff here and there to open your mind a little bit. It's an incredibly enlightening medicine.
I'm being told it's been scientifically proven that marijuana kills your brain cells.
That's the one I remember. Marijuana kills brain cells.
I thought the same thing. You know, I didn't start smoking pot until about 5 years ago. I thought pot made you stupid. You know, I bought into it just as much as anybody did. I realized when I was like 30 years old that I was tricked. I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
1974, the Heath-Tulin study. Ronald Reagan announces, the most reliable scientific sources say permanent brain damage is one of the inevitable results of the use of marijuana. Monkeys pumped full of marijuana, apparently 30 joints a day, had begun to atrophy and die after 90 days. Brain damage was determined after counting the dead brain cells of both monkeys who had been subjected to the marijuana and ones who had not. This study became the foundation of the government and other special interest groups' claim that marijuana kills brain cells. Here's what they didn't tell you. After 6 years of requests, how the study was conducted was finally revealed. Instead of administering 30 joints a day for 1 year, Dr. Heath used a method of pumping 63 Colombian-strength joints through a gas mask within 5 minutes over 3 months.
They suffocated the monkeys. What they did is they put these gas masks basically on their face and they pumped pot into it, but without additional oxygen. So after X amount of time, the brain shut down. Well, if you suffocate, the first thing that's going to happen is your brain cells are going to die with lack of oxygen.
It doesn't make you stupid, folks. It actually makes you more smart. But they don't want that, folks. They want you eating their chemicals and their compounds. Hence, they want you vaccinated and all the other shit that they're doing. Hence, they spray strange fog around in the sky. There's been some analysis of that really weird fog that we saw across, I think it was eastern United States as well. It might have been across the whole United States, I'm not sure. But it's certainly across eastern United States, and it was the strangest looking fog. It was not a fog, but there has been some analysis of that fog, and they found all sorts of strange microbes and bacteria in this fog.
Have you been wondering what was in that chemical fake fog that was covering half the world before the next PSYOP started? Well, it turns out people have been testing the clumps of leftover crap from it, and it's actually loaded with trillions of parasites. Some of the symptoms of a recent infection are UTIs, respiratory infections, pneumonia, and meningitis. Pretty interesting that there's been a rise in cases of pneumonia recently. This is actually considered biological warfare, and they've been put in there because they know parasites keep you sick. Which is, of course, why it's suppressed by Rockefeller medicine. What a surprise. So if you live in one of the areas that had the fog, I would do a parasite cleanse ASAP. They're coming at us from all directions. The air, our food, the sky, God knows what else. And it's up to us to change the terrain of our body to help us detox from all this garbage. This is for entertainment purposes only. Consult your Rockefeller indoctrinated medical professional for medical advice.
Yeah, that sounds all very positive, doesn't it, folks? Can't wait to breathe some of that shit in. Also, the new protection for organic food that we're seeing. Thanks to Mr. Gates, of course. Bill Gates is just everywhere. You just can't make this stuff up. Everywhere you look, Bill Gates has got something to do with it. There's a new coating that's being put on organic food to protect it. And anything you see with an appeal sticker, APEEL, appeal, this is to protect organic food, okay? Put a coating on your limes, a coating on your apples, a coating on any organic fruit or vegetables that you find to protect it from any bad greeblies getting in there. Well, as we know, germs and bacteria are not what we think they are. They don't cause the illnesses that we think they do. Perhaps your body needs a lot of these things in order to function properly. But that aside, someone's been looking at, you know, what's in this compound? And they're putting it on organic food. Is it an organic compound? So let's have a look at it.
So one of the biggest mysteries in the organic produce world right now is how did the new appeal coating with financial backing from Bill Gates get approved for use on organic produce? You'll see these appeal stickers on lots of produce items now. It means the produce has a coating on it that seals it up tight against anything getting in or out, preserves it longer. Like the introduction of the refrigerator. Great, but what's in this coating? Well, it seems to be shrouded in mystery. The product intended to be organic, listed as Organapeel, is registered with the EPA as a pesticide with a rather short and cryptic ingredient list. Active ingredient, citric acid at 0.66%. Other ingredients, not named, 99.34%. And that's 100%. Great, it's all accounted for. Maybe it's listed that way because citric acid could qualify as organic if it's not from a synthetic source. But what about the other 99.34%? Because I'm supposed to eat this coating. Oh, and get this, the EPA requires this caution on the label. Wash thoroughly with soap and water after handling and before eating. The certificate the Organic Material Review Institute issued to it that approved its use on organics listed as a fungicide with no ingredient specified. Not sure what that's based on, but this is starting to smell. It reeks of influence peddling. And the antiseptic for that smell is always sunlight with a liberal splash of transparency. I don't know about you, but I'm finding appeal rather unappealing. I don't think I'll dip my produce in this.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? 0.66% citric acid and the other 99.34% unknown. Doesn't matter. And 99.34%, I mean, that's 100%, folks. Saying that isn't 100% is basically a clerical error. Because it is. I mean, okay, it's just over half of 1% is citric acid. The rest of it, no, we don't know. It doesn't matter. It's all good. The experts said it's fine. What experts? Doesn't matter. They're here. They said it. It's all good. And saying that you need to wash your hands after handling or before eating. So what happens when you go and buy a pack of strawberries or apples or bananas? Or you got to wash your hands as soon as you take them out of the packet. You got to wash them before you eat them. What if it's like string beans? What if it's carrots and all this sort of stuff? I mean, potatoes. I mean, you just pick these things up out of a packet. What, you got to wash your hands and then wash all your potatoes before you peel them, and look, where are we going with this? They're just putting all these poisons all over our food to protect us, of course. Remarkable. Aren't we lucky? Aren't we just so fortunate, folks, that we are so looked after by these people? Something else Trump wants to do as well, folks, he wants to build an iron dome for America. Now, after he's cancelled the First Amendment and sent all the funds out to Israel, I mean, America is in a state of incredible disrepair, starving people all over the place, but we can't stop funding Israel. Increased all the weapons shipments to Israel, just unbelievable. But America's suffering, and now he wants to build an iron dome over America. So I guess he's expecting a lot of flack from people, because of course the United States government has now been completely overtaken by the Israeli government, and it's going to do some really bad things, and it's going to really come down hard on its populace, and so it needs to end the First Amendment so people can't criticize what the government's doing. Can't point out the fact that the United States is run by AIPAC, which is basically a foreign body which is in control of the entire government. They can't point any of that stuff out. They can't try to set themselves up and strike out on their own or any of that sort of stuff, because we're poisoning all the ground and poisoning all the skies and, you know, all the shit they're doing. So we need to build an iron dome so no one can attack us, because we intend to attack everybody else. This is the way it works. This is what Israel's done. Israel is attacking all of its neighbors under the pretext of self-defense. This is sort of spelled out, the way of the new world, the way of the new reality. Preemptive strikes against anybody who's speaking out against you. Outlawing free speech. Looking at Bolshevism, I mentioned on the last report, if you look at Bolshevism, the first thing the Bolsheviks did before they overtook Russia and took control of Russia and caused the Bolshevik Revolution and killed millions upon millions of people, was they outlawed any criticism of Judaism. That's what they did, and that's what they're doing again in the United States, folks. And Trump's even said recently, yeah, well, my daughter's a Jew and blah, 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 you know. But you'll be fine, you know, they'll lead you into the virtual world, it'll all be good. You can even have your new robot companion.
Imagine a world where technology doesn't just serve us, but connects with us on a deeply emotional level. A world where AI robots are not just tools, but companions, caregivers, and friends who truly understand us. Though purely a product of imagination, these lifelike robots could become a part of our daily lives in ways we never thought possible. They could care for us when we're unwell, support us in our golden years, or share the small moments that make life meaningful. What if your robot companion could recognize your emotions, comfort you in tough times, and celebrate your happiest moments? As AI becomes more lifelike, it raises a profound question. Could these robots fill emotional gaps or create entirely new ways to connect?
Oh, that looks just wonderful, doesn't it? I can't wait to get one of those. That's really going to make me feel loved. You couldn't make this shit up, folks. It's unreal. It's almost like the Jetsons gone wrong, you know? It's really... Oh, my Lord. But hey, what can you do? I mean, this is what they're doing. This is where they're going. So you've got to speak out against it. Don't sign up for it. Don't sign up to any of these chat programs, ChatGPT and all this AI shit. Just don't do it. And don't wear smart watches. Don't have smart fridges. Don't carry a smartphone around with you. Even with that opening that I had, that whole command center, when they're tracking and tracing people, how do you think they're doing that, folks? They're doing it off their smartphones. If you don't take a smartphone with you everywhere, well, they can't do that. If you're not using digital cash everywhere, well, then they can't do it. I mean, soon they'll get to the point where, you know, if you're not up on your mRNA vaccines, you find that your digital cash doesn't work anyway. I mean, this is just the way it works. Yeah, and all of this is riding off the back of what happened on October the 7th. See, what's happening in Gaza and Palestine and this whole rise of anti-Semitism and all this sort of stuff, none of this could be possible without that. You know, Trump bringing in anti-Semitism laws where you cannot criticize Israel. This is basically, like I said, destroying the First Amendment, and that's just the first step. Then they'll find a way of people will be pushing back against that, so they'll have to, of course, take the guns from people, or at least make the screening process a little better. So again, you'll be moving towards the loss of the Second Amendment. There's new stuff they're doing with the expulsion of the immigrants as well, whereby if you are an immigrant, if you're an illegal immigrant in the United States, and you could be just a simple Mexican worker over the border, just, you know, been doing it for years. I mean, the borders are pretty lax, folks. Coming into Mexico, like through Arizona or Texas, they don't even ask to look for your passport. And it's the same going back. The American don't even ask to look at your passport. They just wave you through. So it isn't like they're not in on it. Keeping these borders open. And there's a lot of people in there, like Mexicans, just go in there and work for the week and come home. But all it takes now, if you're an illegal immigrant, if you're in the United States and you don't have a visa or you don't have a green card, all it takes is for someone to accuse you of a violent crime. We don't need proof, we just need the accusation. Just accuse someone of committing a violent crime and that person will be arrested, detained, and maybe even subject to deportation and internment in Guantanamo Bay just because they're accused of something. Because that's something else Trump wants to do. He wants to put a new section in Guantanamo Bay to accommodate 30,000 illegal immigrants. Do you really think this is for just illegal immigrants, folks? Or is it for people who break his new First Amendment rule? Now, even that threat, that if you're in the United States and you're here illegally, if we find you, we're going to put you in Guantanamo Bay, that is enough to cause a hell of a lot of people to leave the United States. I mean, you know, they're not going to hang around. If I was an illegal immigrant in the United States, I'd be looking at that going, well, I'm getting the fuck out of here. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'll go somewhere a little more friendly. And 11 million immigrants, he's saying he wants to kick out. I mean, admittedly, a lot of them are probably bad people. There's probably a lot of bad shit going in there. People from Haiti, people from Rwanda, people who have no right to be there, who are all of fighting age, same as what they've done in Europe. But there's also Mexicans and there's also good people. There's, you know, a lot of good people that are going to fall into that basket if they're not careful. And, you know, 11 million people, I mean, you're going to find a lot of people leaving the United States. So where's he going to find the 30,000 illegal immigrants to put in these new prisons he's constructing in Gitmo? And while he is outlawing anti-Semitism, where is he going to put the people who continue to speak out against the crimes of Israel? Because that's what it's come down to. I mean, if you speak out against genocide, if you say that October 7th was an Israeli setup, which it was, it clearly was, and even the Jews are saying that it was, many Jews know that it was a setup.
Everyone knows that what happened on October 7th was an Israeli setup. Everyone knows that.
What? State of Israel. Look at him smile.
It was an Israeli setup.
Yeah, so what's going to happen to these people? What's going to happen to these Jews who say that? Will they be sent off to Gitmo for October 7th denial? They have that in place in Israel at the moment. They have October 7th denial. If you deny the events of October 7th and say it was anything other than what the mainstream media and government tells you that it was, then you can be charged with October 7th denial and you can go to jail for 5 years. So, you know, truth does not fear investigation, folks. So this is what they've done in Israel. This is what they're about to do in the United States. And like I said, even the Jews know this was a setup. It's obvious that it was a setup. I showed you that video footage where Matt Gurton analyzed it and showed you that a lot of the videos are AI videos, and it's indisputable. A lot of that is AI. The artifacts that are left behind, I mean, the merging together, the fact that the motorcycle wheels aren't spinning, there's so many things. The car moving, tracking with the gate when it moves. I mean, go and look at the video. There's so much stuff on there to show you that this was mostly AI-created video. And it's simply not possible. When you look at the damage that they say was done to all the cars and the kibbutz, I mean, the cars are probably AI cars as well. But let's say for a moment they're real. Let's say these are real cars. Well, the amount of damage that was done to them, Hamas simply doesn't possess the type of weaponry to do that. People say, oh, they were just burnt. You could do it with a cigarette lighter. Yeah, no worries. Go and burn 50 cars for me with a cigarette lighter and get back to me and tell me how you go with that. No, you need Hellfire missiles. You need tanks with flamethrowers. You need a lot of heavy artillery to do that sort of damage. Hamas simply doesn't possess that type of artillery. It doesn't possess the means to blow up and destroy houses the way we saw it done in the kibbutz. It just doesn't have the type of weaponry to do this sort of stuff. Yeah, and it's been confirmed by so many Israeli sources that they used the Hannibal Directive. I mean, most of these people died at the hands of the IDF, and this has been confirmed by Israeli sources. Yet if you suggest that's true now, well, you can be charged with anti-Semitism. And if you're in Israel, you can be charged with October 7th denial. So, okay, looking at all this on that perspective, with the Israel-Palestine issue at the foreground, okay, you might be on one side of the fence. I mean, it's a very polarizing thing. There's people who desperately support Palestine, there's people who desperately support Israel. But step back from all of that for a minute. Whether you support either side, think what this is doing, because it's not just going to be for anti-Semitism. What this is doing is destroying the First Amendment. You've got to wonder whether the Supreme Court is going to let him get away with it. But if this goes to pass, and you're imposturing against all these other countries, threatening them, saying he wants to deport all the people from Gaza. I mean, they've got no homes to return to. Let's face it, they don't have anything there to return to. But they're not going to leave. I mean, they won't leave. They'll stay there and die, even if they have to live there in a tent and drink sewer water. They will still stay there. They will never, ever leave their homeland. And they're very adamant about this.
I'm in Gaza, tamam? أنا بحكي لهم بس كلمة واحدة غير اطرافك من منفعك بس بسيبها وبطلع لا بموت بغزة وأنا بسيبها بوس اطرافها قبل ما تروح بوس اطرافها
هذا هو المشهد يعني عبد الناصر حقيقة هذه تراب غزة هؤلاء هم النازحين في مدينة غزة يعني مشهد حقيقة
هؤلاء اطرافها ما فيش حد مش بفيدك لا مصر ولا الأردن اطرابنا وبس المجارب اللي نشربها مظلة بغزة
الحمد لله على سلامتكم
واستدعوا غزة كلهم حيكون
الحمد لله على سلامتكم هذه تمسك الفكر
احنا اسفين اللي طلعنا من هالبلاد بس مش حقدر اقول ايش احنا
اسفين هذا هو المشهد الحمد لله على سلامتكم الحمد لله على سلامتكم
I mean you got to admire their passion and their belief in their cause but You know, they've got nowhere to live. And Trump wants to displace them. And he's saying, well, they're going to go to Jordan and they're going to go to Egypt. And Jordan and Egypt are both saying, no, we don't want them. And, of course, Israel's jumping at this and saying that's because they're all terrorists and they don't want such violent people in their country. You can tell the Palestinians are subhuman by the fact that no other Arab country wants them. It isn't because of that. No other Arab country wants them because no other Arab country wants to be a party to any plan to forcibly displace the Palestinians from their homeland. They believe that if they're displaced to Egypt or Jordan, Israel will simply never allow them to return. And of course they won't. That's the plan. They'll bulldoze all of Gaza, push it out into the ocean, build it into some sort of sandbar or groin for the ships or something. All the bodies, all the everything, they just won't care. And then they'll rebuild their beachfront resort. Do they want to build there? Because they're rich enough to do it. They got money from everywhere. They've been funneling money out of Germany for years, funneling all the wealth out of the United States. The United States is really in a decrepit situation, and now they're burning it to the ground and flooding it and hitting it with toxic fog and all sorts of shit. The United States is fully under attack, and the people don't even know it because it isn't fighting a war with conventional weapons. Go and read that book, Quiet Weapons for... Is it Secret Weapons for Quiet Wars or Quiet Weapons for Secret Wars or something like that it's called? Something like that. I can't remember. I haven't got my big computer at the moment, so I can't check up on the title. But something like that. Quiet Weapons for... Or Secret Weapons for Quiet Wars or something like that. This is what's happening in the United States. The United States is fully under attack. The West is fully under attack. Some countries more than others. You know, I think when a lot of the world leaders signed up for this and signed up to the WEF and the WHO and the whole Davos bullshit and Bilderberg group and all this crap, when they signed up for this agenda of world domination, I think some of them actually didn't realize just how bad it was going to be. Just how little they cared for human life. I mean, it's one thing to kind of get there and get in power. And you get a kind of an ego thing going on, a bit of disdain for human life, and you're a bigwig and you don't really care. But when you start seeing your own people being deliberately killed around you, perhaps there's some world leaders that have, a little bit of a second thought. Like Anthony Albanese in Australia, who's really backed away from a lot of this stuff, which is, of course, why they want him replaced, why they're staging all of these anti-Semitic attacks. And they're all obviously staged, folks. There's no reason for Palestinians who've been brought into Australia as refugees. I mean, Australia has actually accepted quite a number of Palestinian refugees since this conflict started. There's no reason why any of these refugees would be staging these type of anti-Semitic attacks across Australia, because it just undermines their own safety. It gets the people of Australia up in arms and abusing them and accusing them of doing all these terrible things and wanting them deported back to Gaza, which is not what they want. But the only benefit that comes from it is that. So whoever's staging these anti-Semitic attacks in Australia wants that as the result. They want the Palestinian people to be vilified, they want Muslims to be vilified, and they want Israel to receive more and more protection. You've got whole police units around Jewish schools now in Australia, there to protect them because of these anti-Semitic attacks. So who benefits? Well, the Jewish people benefit. So who's carrying out the attacks? Well, of course, the Jewish people are carrying out the attacks. And they have a record of it. They have a history of it. So many anti-Semitic attacks have been staged by Israelis. There's even times when Israelis, Jewish people, have stabbed themselves multiple times and claimed it was an anti-Semitic attack just to get more aid and just to get more sympathy. And they found out that it was actually a self-inflicted wound. These people did it to themselves. So many times, folks, so many times. The fact that all of these attacks that happened against Jewish businesses and synagogues and, former residences, they all happen when there's no Jews there. They all happen in the middle of the night. They all happen to a house after the guy moved out already. You just find a caravan full of explosives with a Jewish address in it. Oh my God, it was so transparent. Of course you do. You just leave a caravan full of explosives on the side of the road with an address to Jeff's place on it. Yeah, no worries, yeah. That's going to work. Gee, must be anti-Jeffites. it's just ridiculous, folks. It's ridiculous. And it's all obviously staged by Jewish people. So there's a really big shift happening. And they'll throw us a few bones. I mean, Trump's throwing us a few bones. There's talk as well. Someone said that he wants to ban income tax. That's interesting that he would want to ban income tax, because he's also said that he wants the United States to lead the world in crypto. And they've also he has predicted, and Trump has predicted, and I've predicted, and David Icke's predicted, and everybody's predicted for a long time, that pretty soon there's not going to be any jobs because it's all going to be automated. You'll be eating your automated created food made from mealworms and insects and shit that they've manufactured into steak, edible steak, of course, 3D printed food. You'll all be living in your pods with your virtual world going on and your cyber companion. And there won't be any jobs. You'll be on a universal basic income, which will be a digital income, whereby you will get points and credits that you're allowed to go and buy a certain amount of things with. You're only allowed to buy certain things with, depending on your social credit score and your carbon footprint, will be in your electric car, which will be geofenced to keep you within your 5 kilometer, 15 minute city zone. And of course, if you aren't up on your vaccines and things, then you will go down on your social credit points. You'll be limited in your purchasing power. And if you are a terribly naughty boy, you may not even receive your universal basic income for that month. So in that type of a world, where does income tax fit into it? You don't have income tax because you don't have an income because you don't have a job. You're on the social credit universal basic income. That's what it's going to be. By the way, Switzerland has just banned electric cars due to the energy consumption. You can't make this up. They're using far more energy and electricity than like their all of their empire cities combined. And so, you know, the electricity has gone through the roof. They're just using two or three times as much as they ever have since they introduced electric cars. And so they have banned electric cars in Switzerland. Might have said Sweden before, I don't know, but it's Switzerland. I always get Sweden and Switzerland mixed up. Don't ask me why, it's just the way my brain works. So yeah, I mean, so there's some countries that are kind of pushing back, and there's some people, I would guess, some of the elite who've, you know, sold most of their soul anyway, are kind of having second thoughts about this. I mean, Gaza's been very sobering to see the level of destruction, the level of cruelty, and realize that this is what they're prepared to do to all of our countries. I mean, you think about some of the stuff that happened in World War II, the bombing of Dresden. Think about what happened in the Russian gulags. Think about Bolshevism, Holodomor. Think about Rhein-Wiesenlager, what they did to those people. You know, you read about it in books. You watch movies about it. Read articles about it. You talk about it. But we kind of have this feeling that we're kind of past that now. We're in a new world now, and you know, humanity is a little saner now than what they were then, and these things could never come to pass again. We've got technology, we've got computers, you know, the world is so much smaller now. We can sort of dial our friends on WhatsApp around the other side of the world and chat for hours and see what's going on in real time. You know, we don't expect anything like this to happen. And then we see what's going on in Gaza and what's going on around the rest of the world, and it becomes very, very sobering to realize that this could also happen to our countries. I mean, look what's happening to Ukraine. It's happening there, and it's kind of, you know, a Western country. Kind of. It is. It's a Western country. Western culture. And I think when people see the sheer brutality of it, some of these world leaders, they just go, hang on. What did I really sign up for here? And they just have sort of pangs of guilt. I think maybe that's what's happening with Anthony Albanese. Maybe it's just time for the next puppet. But I mean, Peter Dutton is a pure psychopath. Peter Dutton actually owns a string of childcare centres, I think around Brisbane as well. Might be somewhere else, but I think Brisbane. Now you've got to wonder what happens there, folks. Australia being one of the child trafficking capitals of the world. We know what goes on in a lot of these childcare centres. Thankfully, it's not Adelaide. Adelaide, Australia being the child murder capital of the world, the town that I grew up in, actually. Yeah, there's a whole tunnel system beneath Adelaide. I used to play in the tunnel system when I was a kid. You can access it through certain storm drains around the city. Get into this huge drainage system, and it was beyond a drainage system. It was huge, this tunnel system. Some of these tunnels were big enough to drive a truck through. Little side passages going off all over the place, little secret rooms in there, all sorts of stuff. I used to find mattresses and things, and I used to think, well, homeless people live here. And then it was years later when I was talking to Rachel Vaughan, we're talking about the Beaumonts, and she was talking about all the child trafficking that happens through those tunnels. I realised how lucky I was when I was a kid that I kind of never fell into that trap. I was down there playing so much, I mean, I could have easily have run into the wrong sort of people while I was down there, but I was fortunate that I didn't. Adelaide is a very, very dark place, folks. It's a beautiful, quaint little place, but it's also very dark. It's got some very dark energy going on there. It really has. As you can see, there's still a lot of hurricane damage from some of these houses and things down here. The place is looking pretty good though, folks, in general, Acapulco. Acapulco, I've got 2 weeks now, only 2 weeks, 2 weeks, about 2 weeks, 16 days or something until the conference in Acapulco. And I'm looking forward to that, folks. If you haven't got a ticket yet, you still can get a ticket. You can use my name, Egan, my coupon, and you can get yourself a 10% discount. I'll actually play a little bit of a promo video at the end of this video clip. I meant to play it last week, but I forgot. Or the last video, but I forgot. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that one. And it may be the last time that an Acapulco is being held in the Secret Garden. I'm not sure, but I did get a newsletter which was suggesting that was a possibility. So, the Secret Garden's a great place. Many of you are very familiar with it because you've seen me do so many walking talks there. So yeah, this might be the last chance you get to come and check it out from that kind of bird's eye view that you get during an Acapulco. And I'm really looking forward to it, folks. Going to be a lot of good speakers. Going to be a lot of good stuff happening on the outskirts, you know, like after hours stuff as well. So do come along and check it out. But yeah, I think that's about all I've got to say. I meant to finish ages ago, but I've just kind of kept going. So yeah, I mean, what do we do in the face of all this? All you can do is continue to speak out. Get people aware of what's going on. I mean, point out the obvious to them with Israel, the obvious to them with what this, you know, banning of anti-Semitism is actually about. It's not about banning anti-Semitism. It's about creating the anti-Semitism through this public genocide and creating the need for people to speak out if they've got any form of conscience at all. And let's face it, folks, if you're someone who still supports the state of Israel through this, well, you're either a brain-dead psychopath or you're simply not fully human. There's no other explanation for it. But they've done all this to see and create this rise of anti-Semitism so then Trump can come along as a knight on the white horse and he can save everybody by outlawing anti-Semitism, essentially banning free speech and decimating the First Amendment, which is the first thing Israel's managed to do, really. I mean, they control the government, but now they're actually getting into the Constitution and they're able to decimate certain areas of the Constitution. That's if this does get by the Supreme Court. And the next one will be the Second Amendment, you know, your right to bear arms. This is what they did in Germany as well. Hitler actually reinstated that. When Hitler came to power, he reinstated the right to bear arms and wanted everyone to buy guns and learn how to use them. You're told the opposite. You're told that Hitler actually took away the guns. No, he didn't. It was the previous party who took away the guns. And it was Hitler who gave the guns back to the people. So, you know, we've had so much taken from us, folks, you know. And they want to just move us down to this path. I mean, wouldn't it be great if we could just see this and wake people up to it? So that, you know, it's going to collapse. I mean, it is going to collapse. But wouldn't it be great if we had enough people with the knowledge to be able to build the world we want when we get to the other side? They built a world like we had, like the Tartarian culture, where everyone's getting free energy from the ether, which you still can't get. There's been a lot of work done on this lately, folks. There's been a lot of people becoming aware of the power of Mercury, what that actually does, what bells do, and the fact that they took all the bells down. All of those buildings that you see, the old buildings, and they've got the bell tower on top, and they've got that little sort of a round area with a few, like 8 or 10 pillars around it, a little dome on top. And you go to a lot of those places, you'll find 4 screw holes on the floor where there used to be something there, like a little stand, like a dais or something like that. And they would have an urn on top of this with mercury in it, and they'd have a bell in the tower and ring the bell, and it spins the mercury and it creates free energy. It's a way of harvesting it from the ether through the shape of the tower, the spires, the little balls. The balls that you see on a lot of these towers would have mercury in them as well. It's actually an experiment that I saw where a guy just put a drone in the air and he attached a wire to the drone. He brought it down to the ground and attached another wire to the ground, then hooked it up between little metal balls and Coke cans and stuff. Check this out.
115 and hold steady. All right. It didn't blow up yet.
Oh, by the way, meet the aerial film crew. I just thought this was a cool shot. Oh, yeah, I'm getting shocked right now. This time I just used the electroscope as a quick voltage check.
Woo! Now that's a few thousand volts right there.
All right, let's see if there's enough current to make this Franklin bell work. Oh, dude! Freaking working, buddy! Yeah! It's a really cool process. The aerial wire places a positive charge on this can, which then influences the foil ball to deliver electrons from the grounded can, which is directly connected to Earth. The clouds finally opened up, so I connected up the corona motor. Like before, one side was connected to ground, while the other was attached to the aerial wire. And after just a few seconds... Hey, she's spinning! This is just remarkable. It never really spun that fast, but I just sat and enjoyed the miracle. I mean, I quite literally was siphoning energy straight from the atmosphere. This motor was operating off of several kilovolts, which you could actually hear if you stopped the motor and brought your finger near the aerial wire. That's the sound of coronal discharge. Oh. Not long after, the wind started picking up, so we packed up.
Yeah, so the etheric energy is still there. It's all around us. This is the energy that Tesla tapped into. A lot of people are doing a lot of really good work on this now, folks. We can get back to that. And that's my great hope through this, is that we just retain enough consciousness. I mean, as I've said before, I don't think there's going to be enough people wake up and stand up that are actually going to be able to change this system. So it's going to have to go where it's going to go. And where it's going is to a place of complete and utter self-implosion, I think. It might take a little while for this to happen. A lot of people are going to comply with it. A lot of people are going to be led into it. But through that, we're going to see a massive die-off. A lot of people are dying from the jab. There's been all sorts of information coming out now about how many people are getting heart disease, how many people are getting cancers, all these blood clots and shit they're pulling out of people. I mean, so much stuff. You know, the Deagle report said that there was going to be a mass die-off in 2025, and I think we're going to see that. I think we've seen a lot of it already. And as I've said before, the system they're creating, the AI system, the control system, is so inhuman. You're just not going to be able to step outside the lines. You're not going to be able to live as a free human being within this system. So humans are just going to wither up and die within this system. They're going to be vaccinated and jabbed, and their lifespan is going to be reduced. I mean, you know, they want to have everybody sexually activated by the time they're, you know, 8 or 9 years old, and they want them dead by the time they're 30, so they can just have a quick turnover of population. Don't ever leave them alive long enough to really start to think about things and think about the slavery system they're in, and just, you know, recycle souls that way. That's what they want to do. But it's going to be such an anti-life system that it's basically going to kill its own food source. And what we have to do is just maintain until that happens. You notice there's the huge push to promote pedophilia, which is seen as something so taboo these days. And again, I mean, I'm not attracted to little children, folks, but pedophilia has been rampant in this world for so long. I mean, this sex with children has been rampant for so long. This is something a lot of the religionists will use as well when they say Muhammad. One of the ways they vilify Islam, see, vilifying Islam is how they've managed to create this whole situation in Gaza, which again has created the whole migrant influx into Europe, which again has created the loss of the First Amendment in the United States. It's all tied together, folks. The whole thing's tied together. And one of the things they use to get you to hate Muslims and to say it's okay for the Jews, who are not Jews but are the synagogue of Satan, to go out and kill all the Muslims, is because they say Muhammad was a pedophile. Muhammad was a pedophile because he had a 9-year-old wife. Well, yeah, he did. But it was interesting. Someone actually went to ChatGPT, and you can do this, and you can even just go into history books and look it up for yourself if you don't want to trust the AI GTP. Go and look it up for yourself, and you'll find that it's true. But it wasn't just Muhammad who married a 9-year-old. There were a lot of people who married 9-year-olds. They actually usually married them at 6 years old and then consummated the marriage when they were 9. And there was a lot of people who did it, and it wasn't just Muslims. It was also Christians.
Hey, ChatGPT, did Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, really marry a 9-year-old?
Yes, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, married Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, when she was 6, and the marriage was consummated when she was 9. This was entirely normal and acceptable for 7th century Arabia and many other societies throughout history, including Christian ones. Marriageable age was determined by biological maturity and societal norms, not by modern standards. Here are past examples from Christian history that prove this was not unique to Islam. 1. King Richard II of England married Isabella of France when she was 6 years old in 1396. 2. Hugh Capet's son, Robert II, the Pious, married Rolla of Italy when she was about 8 years old. 3. Saint Agnes of Rome, a venerated Christian saint, was betrothed at around 12 years old before her martyrdom. Across Europe in the Middle Ages, child marriages were common. This wasn't exploitation. It reflected the realities of their world. The fixation on Prophet Muhammad's marriage ignores the global historical context. Judging ancient practices by today's norms is intellectually dishonest as societies evolve.
Why is it Muslims get heat for marrying a child 1,400 years ago, but the thousands of Christians that did it get off scot-free?
Yeah, Muslims, Christians, Hindus, lots of people, British royalty. It was simply the way things were back then, folks. People just took child wives. You know, I've said to you before that the big thing that men wanted in those days was they wanted a virgin wife. So they want to get a wife who's young enough that they know this person hasn't had sex before. Then they kind of keep them somewhere in the harem as a concubine or whatever, and then consummate the marriage when they're sort of a little bit older and gone into puberty or whatever, I don't know. But they wanted to make sure that they had a virgin wife, so they wanted to get them young and sort of keep them somewhere until they were fertile. That's just the way it was in the old days. Do I agree with child sex? No, I don't, but that's just the way it was in those days. So, you know, if you're going to vilify Islam and say they're all terrorists and pedophiles, well, then you have to do the same thing with Christianity. You have to do the same thing with royalty, because back in the 7th century, they were all doing it. No difference, folks. So if you're vilifying Islam for doing that but not Christianity for doing that, then you're not someone who's protecting children. You're simply a bigot. That's just the way it is. Personally, I think all religion is demented, and children should be left alone to have their childhoods the way they see fit. But anyway, that's just me. But anyway, I'm going to leave it there for now, folks. As you can see, I'm still in transit. I'm staying at Jeff's again. I will stay here until the conference starts. Then when the conference starts, I'll be staying down near the conference. And after that, I'll be heading to the United States for a few weeks to catch up with some friends. And then I've got a couple of other plans after there, which I will let you know as they happen. It'll be kind of interesting for you and interesting for me. So yeah, I'll keep you posted on all that. But the same thank yous that I always give, folks. Thank you to anybody speaking out about all this stuff. Thank you to anybody who shares the information. I know it's getting harder and harder. And you know, I know people are tired of me focusing on Gaza, and I just can't stand by in the face of a genocide, folks. I really can't. And I think it's important to see how it all ties into what's happening in the United States, what's happening in England, what's happening in Australia. It all ties into this. All these anti-Semitic attacks in Australia, the big campaign to overthrow the Albanese government and replace them with Peter Dutton, so they can continue to support the State of Israel, which is all about creating greater Israel, which again is going to be the central control center for the world. Couple that with the whole Starlink setup that Elon Musk is doing, the fact that he wants to join all the mobile phones together, even if you just got an Android or an iPhone, even if you're not on a Starlink phone, he wants you to be able to get internet and communication through his network. So putting it all into a central place, couple that with Project Stargate, the same thing, it's all connected, folks. It's all the same thing. Couple that with burning LA and everything they've done there to replace it with a smart city by 2028 for the Olympic Games. Olympic Games, you know, in the face of all this shit, feed them bread and circuses and they'll be fine. That's the way it works, folks. It's amazing. But just be aware of all this shit, folks. Be aware of it. Be aware of how it's all connected. It's all one thing. That's why they've made the atrocities and the genocide of Gaza so open and so public, because they know there's not a damn thing you can do against it, because all you're going to do is speak out against Israel and protest in the street. You're not going to do anything about your own government, which is the only reason Israel's able to do this, because it's your government that is supporting it. So you're not going to really be looking at things through the right type of eyes. They want you distracted with everything else, like distracted with all this stuff that's going on around you. Yeah, and meanwhile, you're rolling out the smart grid, rolling out, you know, robot companions, rolling out their command center so they can track and trace everybody. It's all coming into place and it's all coming in this year. An interesting thing that Jeff pointed out actually on his last video as well was, what's those two skaters? What was the girl's name? Tonya Harding. Tonya Harding and the other girl who she hurt. You had Tonya Harding on the news and then you had the other girl, someone Kerrigan or something, Nancy Kerrigan, might be her name, out there crying in 1994, to usher in 1995, which was a very tumultuous year. And they appeared on TV again the other day, or on X. It was Tonya Harding made some tweet on X, like anybody knows who she is. And then the next day we saw Nancy Kerrigan on X crying again. It's almost like a puppet show. And they did this right before 1995, which was a tumultuous year, 20 years ago or 30 years ago. And now we're seeing these come out and do it at the beginning of 2025. And we are heading in for an incredibly tumultuous year. It's like a movie script, folks. It's really like a movie script. I was quite surprised when I saw that, because I haven't been able to check out much news and shit. I've been traveling, so it's getting little vague snippets. And my ex feed is just Gaza. That's all I get is Gaza and Israel, because I guess I've commented on a few things. Got to do a few more searches for a few more things and maybe change my ex feed a little bit, because I need some more information about other things, and you don't get a lot from the mainstream media, that's for sure. And I haven't had time to watch too many video clips or any news from other sources, so I got to get back on top with that and be able to bring you some more information on some other topics. But I think it's important to see how it's all tied together, folks. All of this is tied together. They couldn't be doing any of this without making the genocide in Gaza so public to raise the ire of the people. They really want to polarize society. It gives them the opportunity to outlaw anti-Semitism, again, under the pretext of outlawing anti-Semitism, when really what it's doing is eroding your First Amendment rights under the guise of protecting the Jews. And they couldn't have done any of it without October 7th, which was, of course, staged by Israel. And like I showed you before, even the Jews say that it was staged by Israel, and everybody knows it. So much propaganda, folks. But anyway, thank you to all the people who share the information. Thank you to all the people who send me so many kind emails. Thank you to all the people on the front line out there speaking out, doing podcasts, doing public meetings, going to rallies, all this sort of stuff. Again, though, I don't even think you need to go to rallies in the street and march around with flags. What you need to do is just stop complying with your own government. That's what's going to change things. You can go march in the street and fly flags all around the place. It's great for showing solidarity. But you find that most of these protests and meetings get infiltrated by Jews who just, you know, start yelling out Allah Akbar and burning shit and giving the Palestinian activists the bad name. So most of it gets contrived. You've got to understand that it's all being done by politicians, and what you have to do is remove your support from these politicians. Tell the politicians you're not going to vote for any of the ones that are funded by AIPAC. Not that I suppose it even really matters. They just put you in anyway and tell you that you voted for them. It's all digital now, and they can just, you know, they put in whoever they want and they just get away with it because people think the system is real. How about nobody vote next time? Wouldn't that be great? Nobody vote because there are no suitable candidates. That would be great to see. But anyway, thank you to all the people who are out there speaking up and making a difference. And of course, thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. You guys have kept me on the air for the last 10 years, and I cannot thank you enough. You've helped spread this message to millions upon millions of people. And I know that because of the view count I get on some of the videos and the thousands upon thousands of emails that I receive. So thank you for that. But anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on this report. I'll bring you another one as soon as I'm as able. It probably won't be until around about the middle or the end of next week because I've got a couple of things I have to go away and do. But I will get one out to you soon, certainly by the end of next week or before then. And thank you for joining me on this report. Please take very good care until we speak again. In Lakesh.
So you've taken the red pill, Neo. You've begun awakening to the Matrix. You've noticed that almost everyone around you is a non-player character under mind control. And many of them are so inured and hopelessly dependent on the system that they will fight to protect it. So, what now? There's only one thing you can do. Find others like you who are also awakening from the Matrix and learn from them. Make connections and get inspired by them to become the greatest version of yourself and rise up out of the Matrix. The path you have chosen is not easy. It will be the hardest thing you've ever done. But it's also your only hope. I have good news though, Neo. There is one place where others like you gravitate every year to hear from the leaders of the evolution. It's not in an underground city called Zion where we hide from the robots. Yet. It's in a place called the Secret Garden, in one of the most beautiful places on Earth, Acapulco, Mexico. Agents of the Matrix have tried to destroy this place. They attacked it with a surprise Category 5 weather weapon last year. And this year they hit it twice with the same surprise Category 3 energy weapon, leaving the entire city underwater. Yet, we are still here. And stronger than ever. Organite Weatherbuster defense systems have now been installed, and the spiritual warriors of this place keep the dark energy attacks at bay. And now, in February 2025, they will gather again. The Dollar Vigilante, Jeff Berwick, Max Egan of the Crow House, David Icke, who is banned from most countries on Earth, will be appearing live, virtually. Gareth Icke, of Iconic, Stu Peters, creator of Occupied, The Grow Network's Marjorie Wildcraft, Joel Salatin, Dr. Andrew Kaufman, David Avocado Wolf, Charlie Robinson of Macroaggressions, Steve Falconer of Spacebusters, Badre Fraser of iHeal Collective, Andrew Treglia, director of the Jones Plantation, Beth Martins of the House of Free Will, Alpha Vedic's Mike Winner, Tom Barnett on Natural Law, Mystical Shaman, Christoph Melchizedek, Dr. Lydia, and Arturo De Leon, Persephone Aishwarya, Destination Freedom's Christopher Gronsky, Shunyamurti of Sat Yoga, with a virtual address, Ole Damagard, of Light on Conspiracies, with a special live virtual dissection of all the latest false flags and psyops, and many more. Bring the family. There is a family camp running the entire duration of the event, with mostly unschooled, unlethally injected, free-range children. If you need help breaking out of the matrix of your mind, ayahuasca and other plant medicines will be available at Bambuda. Special opening night music performances by Grant Presence and Carrillo B. It will all be held from February 17th to the 21st, with the opening party on February 16th. Special workshops, ceremonies, and retreats taking place before and after. It is time to ascend and dance as you rise up out of the matrix with your tribe. and Acapulco, 2025, Ascendance.